Come on now. We got people stepping up. That's tight. Amen. So like I said, what we're doing, amen, for the next few months, amen, is we're going to be showing you guys the process or the things that we went through. That way you can see, man, that you are able to be used by God. Amen. Because there was a time in my life when I thought I couldn't do nothing. I thought I couldn't amount to nothing. I was useless. I was purposeless. I had no, like I tell you guys, I had no gifts or talents. I got nothing. I looked at myself and I said, I can't do nothing. Amen. But because of God, amen, he changed my life. He placed me in an awesome church, amen. He placed me in the best youth ministry in the world, amen. That's the gang, God's Anointed Now Generation. And God is using my life in a special way this very day, amen. And so what we're going to be doing, amen, is what I'm going to be doing, amen, is I'm kind of going to share my testimony with you. Not kind of, but I'm going to be sharing my testimony with you. Thank you. And I want you, and I'm going to be bringing out some things that I went through, amen. Some issues, amen. I don't know about you. I know you guys don't have issues, but I had some issues, amen. I know you guys are perfect here, and nobody goes through nothing, but I got some issues, amen. And I had some issues, amen, but God began to deal with them. So I just want to share with you, if you haven't heard my testimony, I was privileged to share my testimony on one of our Thursday night events, and we called it Shattered Dreams or something like that, right? Shattered, and so I kind of want to get into my testimony with you guys, amen. I came to Hawaii when I was 3 years old from California, amen, and we came here on a bad note, amen. My dad was already on the run from the police over there in California, and so he ran out here, and we came just to vacation, just to see him. My mom and my two older brothers. I'm the youngest of three. We came just to visit him, and ended up staying out here, amen. And I'm here today now, right? But so we ended up coming out here, and the first place we moved into was none other than Pupuole, amen. We moved right there into Pupuole, and I remember, like, man, this is Hawaii, this is tight, if this is Hawaii, then this is gangster right here. And so I just remember little things happening, and my dad was already a drug addict at that time, but I didn't know. I was just three. I was barely learning how to kick rocks, you know what I mean? I didn't know much. And but from there, we moved from my Pahu to Eva Beach. I remember living in Eva Beach for a little bit. And during that time, my oldest brother was already experimenting in drugs and different things like that. And I just remember if we had a nice house, everything was going good. And just slowly, we began to downgrade. We were in Eva Beach, and we had a nice house. And it was nice and clean all the time. It was a two-story house. And I just remember it was cool. And just slowly, we began to downgrade. Before I knew it, we ended up in Kalihi in town, homeless. We ended up homeless in town, right there sleeping at Ala Park, right there staying at shelters and different things like that. And by that time, I was maybe five years old, and both of my parents were full-blown drug addicts. They were going all out, shooting heroin, and I remember, as I got older, like, or just not kind of recently, a few years ago, I asked my mom just to confirm. I was like, Mom, would you do heroin? She was like, yeah, I was bad. And she would do it in her neck and all the different places, you know. And so they were both bad. My dad introduced my mom into drugs, and they both got wiped out by the drugs. And I just remember at a young age, I was doing all kind of crazy things for them, you know, just being the lookout for them. And they would go to the shopping malls and steal clothes and stuff like that. They would steal clothes and go sell them on the street. And so little Matt would be the lookout kid, you know. I would be the lookout guy. They would, you remember, I mean, you know how when you go shopping, they got shirts around the rack, the circle rack, right? And you could hide in the rack. My parents would go and hide in the circle, and they would stuff clothes, boom, boom, and I would be outside. And if somebody was coming, I'd be like, somebody's coming, and, you know, walk away. And they would just run out with all kind of clothes, all kind of different stuff, and they would go to different grocery stores and just take carts full of food, and it was just crazy like that, and we did all kind of different things. And I just remember being at Ala Park, and you know what I mean, seeing a bunch of homeless people and staying at homeless shelters. And inside, I didn't like it, but I kind of thought maybe this was life. This is what I grew up in. Inside, I was like, man, this is pretty something else. I was like, man, this is something else. And I would be walking by elementary schools and seeing all the kids playing and thinking like, man, I want to be in school. I want to be doing that stuff. And when I would go to school, I would probably be sick or something like that. And it was real chaotic. It was always crazy. And That was my life for a long time, just in and out. My parents were constantly in and out of drugs. They would do good, then they would mess up, and then they would do good, and then they would mess up. And I was they were never in my life. My dad was in jail. My mom was in jail. My mom was she would watch us for a little bit, and then she would be gone. And I would just be with my brothers, or my brother Joey at like 13 years old was on his own already in Waikiki. And so it would just be me and my brother Mark. And he was really the one that I grew up with, I grew close to. That was like, if you see Mark, you see Matt. You see Matt, you see Mark. We were always together. And it was tough. It was tough, but we developed a bond. And I thank God for my brothers. I love my brothers. So growing up, all the way until high school, they were just in and out of our lives, in and out of our lives. I remember a lot of little things just that really affected me. And I would always, like I shared this last time, I would always be waiting for my mom. She would always she would be like, I'm going to go and I'm going to come back. I'm going to come get you guys. And so we lived on the top of a hill. And so me and my brother, we would wait outside and we would look for the car. We would count the cars coming up. And we'd like cars would come up the hill and we would be like, Mom's gonna be the fifth car. Watch, I bet you the fifth car. And so, you know, one car, two car, three cars, four cars, and five cars, and okay, it's not Mom. Boom, the sixth car, oh, there she is, let's go, you know, go to school or something like that. But there would be times as well where I would just be out there by myself late at night. My brother Mark would be out, and I'd just be like, man, hoping my mom would come home because she's out doing drugs. My mom's gonna be the fifth car coming up, or the sixth car, and I would, you know, count the cars, and no mom. I would count no mom for weeks at a time, no mom. So I kind of it hurt me. I grew up so to say lonely. I grew up lonely. I felt lonely, though I had, you know, my family there. I had friends there. I grew up lonely, and that's a point I want to share on tonight. Some of us grew up feeling lonely, and you know what I'm talking about when I say lonely, not just lonely where you're left alone, but lonely where everybody's around you, but you just, nobody understands you, or nobody knows what you're going through, where you're putting on a front, like everything's okay, everything's all good. And you're going to school and you got the biggest smile, you're the class clown, but nobody knows what's taking place inside of your heart. How many of you know what I'm talking about tonight? Amen. I know a lot of us have gone through those different things. Amen. And I want you to understand that you don't have to come from a rough background to be in Victory Outreach or in the gang, amen. But I know everybody here has some deep issues in their life, amen. Everybody here has gone through some things, amen. So don't think that you have to come from a messed up background or a crazy background to be here. But I know a lot of us here go through different issues, amen. So real quickly, I just want to talk about loneliness, amen. I looked it up on the internet. It says this. It says loneliness is an unpleasant feeling in which a person feels a strong sense of emptiness and solitude resulting from inadequate levels of social relationships. However, it is a subjective experience. Loneliness has also been described as social pain, a psychological mechanism meant to alert an individual of isolation and motivate him or her to seek social connections. People can experience loneliness for many reasons, and many life events are associated with it, like the lack of friendship, relationships during childhood and adolescence, or the physical absence of meaningful people around a person are a few causes of loneliness. At the same time, loneliness may be a symptom of another social or psychological problem, such as chronic depression. Many people experience loneliness for the first time when they're left alone as infants. It's also a very common, though normally temporary, consequence of a breakup or divorce or loss of an important long-term relationship. In these cases, it may stem both from the loss of a specific person and from the withdrawal from social circles caused by the event or the associated sadness. The loss of a significant person in one's life will typically initiate a grief response. In this situation, one might feel lonely, even while in the company of others. Loneliness may also occur after the birth of a child. Amen. There's some teenage moms out there, you know what I mean, who got pregnant at a young age, and you know they go through these things. It says chronic loneliness is a serious life-threatening condition. At least one study has empirically correlated it with an increased risk of cancer, especially for those who hide their loneliness from the outside world. And it is also associated with increased risk of stroke and cardiovascular disease. Amen. Bear with me. Loneliness has been linked with depression and is thus a risk factor for suicide. Emil Durkheim has described loneliness, specifically the inability or willingness to live for others, i.e. for friendship or altruistic ideas, as the main reason for what he called egoistic suicide. People who are socially isolated may report poor sleep quality and thus have this diminished these are big words, amen? I'm not too smart. Loneliness has also been linked with that's another big word that I can't say, amen? Basically, you guys get the point, amen? You guys get the point that loneliness is something that if we let go on in our lives, amen, it'll mess us up in the long haul. That loneliness, you guys know what I'm talking about, amen, where you feel nobody understands you, or you feel, man, that though everybody's around you, there's nobody you can open up to, nobody you can talk to. You kind of isolate yourself from the world, amen. You isolate yourself from people. You hold back from people. You have nobody to vent to. You have nobody to talk to. You're going through all this pain inside of your heart, all this pain in your life, and there's nobody really to share it with, and you just cry every night. You're crying every night. You're hurt every night. You're crying out. Not knowing what to do. There was nights where I would cry out. Nights where I would just be right there crying. Where's my mom? Where's my dad? What's going on? Why is life like this? When my brothers would leave, I would cry because that's all I had. Just, man, my brothers. And many of us go through these things. And I want you to know tonight, amen, that could be an attack from the enemy. Amen. The devil will use that to get you to commit suicide. The devil will use that to get you, man, to just hate life and want to give up on everything and everybody and just to isolate yourself and you end up getting sick. Amen. The devil wants to attack you. Amen. The devil wants, he's basically called an all out war upon your life, and he's going to use everything that he can do to destroy you. Why? Because you have a calling upon your life tonight. You have a calling, a call to greatness, a call to be used by God, and the devil's gonna use these different things to mess you up, amen. The devil is gonna use all these every opportunity that he got to destroy your life. I would always ask, man, why would I grow up in this kind of family? Why would God place me here? And I want you to know tonight that the heavier the attack is from the enemy, the greater the calling is from God. Amen. The more the devil attacks you, it's because you have a great calling upon your life. God called you to be a pastor. God called you to be an evangelist. God called you to do great things for him. Amen. God's called you, man, to be a missionary, to go into land that nobody has been, to go preach about Jesus. God called you, man, to step out and win your high school for Jesus. God called you to start a Bible study, to go into a city where no man would go because it's so crazy. God has called you and he anointed you for that task, but the devil's going to do everything he can to destroy it. Amen. Everything he can. That's why you're constantly getting attacked. That's why you're constantly getting hit. Amen. That's why, man, the devil was trying to take me out, and I went through this loneliness, this not knowing who to talk to, and it affected me, amen, growing up. Loneliness affects you. If you hold things in, it'll affect you, amen. I couldn't hold a simple conversation with people. I could not hold a conversation with people. I think people thought I was weird. Honestly, I didn't know how to talk. I didn't know how to talk. I would be like, hey, how you doing? What's up? And after that, they would get into deep conversations, and I would shut down. I would like, okay, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. Or like, whoa, this is too much for me. It's a simple conversation about math. And I'm like, oh, you know, I get all overwhelmed. I'm out, you know. But it affected me. It affected me, and I felt it. Man, I was always told, when you go to school, everything's okay at home. Don't tell nobody nothing. Don't speak about nothing. Don't say what's going on. Just shh. I would always hear that. Shh. Just don't tell nobody nothing. So every time I would talk to people, I wouldn't tell them nothing. There were times in school where I would just cry. People would be like, what's up? What's wrong? And I wouldn't say nothing. So it affected me. You know, that stuff affects you to this day. You're probably being affected by past pain or past hurts or these different things, these different issues that you may have gone through, amen. And we're going to talk about different issues. Everybody who's speaking has gone through different things. And I want you to know, no matter what you've been through, no matter what, man, pain you're going through, no matter what hurt is going on in your life, that God loves you, that God's called you, that God's there for you, God sees you, God loves you. and he's there fighting for you. He's there. He's with you when you're crying alone in your room. He's with you when you're there and you feel like nobody's watching you or nobody cares about you. Nobody is thinking about you. You're on his mind day and night. I want you to know that God loves you and God chose you. God cares for you. God wants to carry you in his arms. You're his child. You're his princess. You're his son. Amen. You're his little prince right there. And he loves you and he wants to embrace you in your arms. I want you to know that there's a God out there who's saying, he says, give me your burdens. Give me your pain. Give me your worries. My yoke is light. My burden is easy. Don't worry. I'm here for you. Don't worry. I love you. Don't worry. I've called you. No matter what you're going through, I'm going to be there protecting you. But you got to surrender your life to God. You got to give it all to God. You got to surrender your life to God. That's what the Bible says, amen, that there's a God right there who loves you, amen, that we serve a living God. Victor said it. Our God is living. Our God is alive, amen. Our God is not a statue. Our God is not some cat that you bow down to. Our God is not some tree that the tree of life, you know what I mean? Nothing like that. We don't know. Our God is alive. He's there. He's with you. Amen. He's embracing you in his arms. When you think, when you feel nobody feels your pain, he feels your pain. When you feel that nobody understands what's going on in your mind, he knows what's going on in your mind. And he's just saying, call out to me, cry out to me, and I'm there for you. Cry out to me, and I'm going to rescue you. Amen. If the keyboard player could make his or her way tonight. There's a lot, amen. There's a lot that I want to share with you tonight, but I just want to breeze through a few more things, amen. I want you to understand that you're God's child, you're God's princess, you're God's son, you're God's prince, amen. And he loves you, he's called you, amen. So I went through this. I went through this loneliness. I felt that, and it affected me to this day. And so I grew up, amen. And at 16 years old, my dad had already passed away. He relapsed, did drugs one more. He was trying to do good, did drugs one more time, and that was it for him, right? And but he died. He was serving God. He tried. He was, I mean, he was right there trying. Parents try, amen. Parents, they try. They love us, amen. They love you, and so he was trying to serve God, and I know he did, amen. I know he loved God. He would take us to church. It was him who took us to Victory Outreach, amen. And so he died, and because of that, I gave up, you know, boxing. That was my sport. Take out my anger and stuff, you know. That was my sport, but he passed away, so I kind of gave that up, and then I turned to drinking. You know, there's an effect to all these past hurts, all these past issues, all these past pains. And so I turned to drinking. I started drinking. You can ask my wife. I was a little alcoholic. I was, man, you see Matt, you see a beer. Boom. And I it wasn't me. It totally wasn't me. But I was just, you know, man, I'm going to just drink. I would try hard to drink. It's weird. Even though it was nasty, I was just like, man, I want to just drink because it's so easy. So I would drink. I would even wake up early with the hangover and be like, okay, I got to drink. And people would be like, man, you're crazy. I'm like, I know. Just because it's all I wanted to do was drink. I kind of gave up on life. I was like, that's it. This is me. That's it. I'm going to drink. And, you know, it was an effect of what I went through. And if you're going through some things or if you've gone through some things as a child, and if you don't give it to God, it's going to affect you as you grow up. It's going to torment you as you grow up. It's going to be there, and you're going to try to block it out. You can try to block it out. You're going to try to just forget it or erase it from your memory or, you know, forget that it ever happened. But it's going to pop up. If you don't get rid of it, if you don't allow God to kill it, if you don't allow God to stop it right there, if you don't allow God to take that pain out from you, it's gonna catch up to you in the long haul. I want you to know that tonight. I want you to know that it's gonna affect you. You're gonna feel it and you're gonna know it. And by then, it might be too late. It might be too late. It just might be too late. But you can stop it here tonight, amen. You can give it to God here tonight, and that's what I did. That's what happened. At 18 years old, amen, I was still drinking, you know, still fighting, doing all these different things, getting into rumbles. I began to love fighting. I would fight all the time. I was fighting, and I would plot how I'm going to beat up my friends. Can you believe that? My own friends, we would be there drinking, boom, kicking it, bumping the radio, and I would walk to the side, and I would just, you know, think. I'd be like, man, life was crazy for me. Life was, man, why did I have to go through this? Man, I would just be asking all these questions with the beer in my hand, drinking, crying, bumping Tupac. Crazy Tupac, man. You got to cut that rolling music out because that, will mess you up. You know what I mean? That's, I don't like worldly music because it'll get into your mind. I'll bump Tupac, man. You know what I mean? I'm not gonna start saying no rhymes, no trip, no Tupac lines, nothing like that. But you know, I was just man, and so I'd be like, the first person that comes and says something crazy to me, I'm gonna pop them. Or my own friends, I would picture me, just, you know what I mean, me and all of them, pop, 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 pop. I would play it in my head. I would play it even to the point of, you know, the murder. Man, it was just so crazy. The devil was messing with my mind, was messing with my head. I would think like that. I would just wait for it. Somebody mess with me. I began to feel like that, and it hurt. I didn't like to feel like that. That's why I would cry. But I thank God, amen, that at the age of 18 years old, God sent Victory Outreach to Hawaii, amen. People came, amen, to talk to me. I remember Pastor Tony and Sister Veronica came to my house, and they prayed for me and my wife, amen. And she was pregnant. We knew she was already pregnant, and they came and prayed. And man, Victory, you know, Victory Outreach, they don't stop. They had a Bible study in my house, and I would be in my room, and I could just hear the clapping and singing. And they just, man, God just began to get a hold of my life. And before I knew it, I found myself on December 16th. Surrendering my life to God, amen. Of 2006, I surrendered my life to God. I gave my life to Jesus, and at the same time, I gave him all of my pain. I gave him all of my hurts. I gave him all of my past. I forgave everybody I had to forgive. I let it all go because I knew it was going to mess me up. I knew that if I didn't let it go, it was going to affect me, and it was going to mess me up, and I couldn't hold on to it. I had to forgive my dad for not being there. I had to forgive my mom for the things, you know, just they weren't there, and all these different things. I forgave my brothers because for a short time they were both gone. I was alone at 16 years old, but I forgave them for all that stuff. I was like, no, I'm gonna just give it to God, and I'm gonna serve God. I'm gonna commit my life to God, and this is it from here on out. And I did that, and I gave it to God, and it was the best decision I ever made. And God just began to do a work in my life, amen. And I'm gonna continue the rest next week. But tonight, I want you to know tonight that God has called you, that God chose you, that you can, that past, amen, that past, you don't have to hold on to that past. That past, you don't have to hold on to it. You can let it go. God wants to clean you from your past. God wants to take the past out of your heart, amen. Not to forget it, to remember it, but not to hold on to it and hold bitter towards it, amen. Be bitter towards it, amen. And God wants your present. God wants your now to be a now full of joy. He wants your life now to be a life full of happiness, of love, of purity, of just knowing him in a relationship with him. That's where I'm at today. I'm loving God. I have a relationship with God. Because of him, I have a beautiful wife and two beautiful children. I'm privileged to be where I'm at today, to be surrounded by men of God, a people of God. And God wants to do that with you. He wants to give you a family. God has a family for your life. Amen. Let's all stand tonight. If that's you, if that's you, if God ministered to you in any way, if you're holding some past hurts, some past pain, some different things, if there's different issues taking place inside of your life, you got to let it go. You got to give it to God. You got to surrender it to God. If there's things that happen to you as a child, maybe you say, man, I grew up in a family just like that. I went through things just like that. And you know in your heart, you're holding on to some things. You need to let it go tonight. You need to give it to God tonight, because if not, it's going to affect you. If not, you're going to be bitter towards it. And it's not good to be bitter towards God. It's not good to be bitter towards people. You got to give it to God, because God wants to fill you tonight with his love. Right here at these altars, God wants to give you his love. He wants to give you a piece of his heart. He wants you to know how much he loves you, how much he cares for you, how much he cries for you. When you're crying, he's there crying with you. When you're crying out for hope, he's there wanting to wrap you in his arms. God loves you. So tonight, if you say, I want to give it to God, if you say, I'm holding on to some things, the past is hurting me, it's haunting me, then I want you to come to these altars right now. Come up here and give it to Jesus tonight. I want you to come up here and begin to talk to God. Begin to say, God, fill me with your presence. Begin to give it to God. Begin to give it to God. God has called you. God has called you tonight. God has a plan for your life. God loves you. God believes in you. Jesus believes in you.
What's deep in me, only you know.
Jesus is saying, he's saying, come to me, come to me. Jesus is saying, come to me. Give me your worries. Give me your hurts.
What's deep in me?
I know the pain that you're going through. I know the hurt that you're going through. You just gotta give it to me.
Come walk with me.
I know what goes on in your mind. I know what it feels like when you're there in your room and you're crying. And you're looking for answers in men. You're looking for your answers in girls. You're looking for answers in drugs and drinking. But those are the wrong answers. You gotta give it to Jesus. You gotta give it to Jesus. You gotta cry out to Jesus. You gotta accept Jesus as Lord over your life. You gotta accept Jesus as your Savior. Lift your hands right there. Lift your hands and surrender them to God. Lift your hands to God and surrender your life to God. Talking about the world, we're talking about the things of the world, the enemy and all those things, all the pressures of life, all those different things, all the everything that the world throws at you, that pressure, that partying, all that drinking, and you know what I mean, trying to live the glamorous life and all material, everything, you know what I mean, and it's literally us, amen, against the world, us meaning us in Christ, us in Jesus, amen. The world has been trying to destroy us since we were children, and now that we're saved, the world is still going to try to destroy us. But guess what? We're serving God now. Guess what? We got Jesus now. Guess what? You got a people. You got a people. You got a family who has your back. Like I said when I opened up, you have leaders who love you. My wife, Sister Crystal, they love all the girls here. They love you guys. They love you guys. You need to get close to them. You need to talk to them. You need to open up to them. You need to share your heart with them, because they're going to guide you the right way. They're going to direct you in the right path. They're going to direct you to Jesus. Ain't nothing better than that. If somebody is telling you to try something else, then I warn you now, don't follow. Don't listen to them. If somebody, you know, says go try this, or oh, it's okay, get a boyfriend. You know, men help you with that. That's a lie from the devil. You need to go to Jesus, amen. And you have women of God here in this youth ministry, women of God here in this church that are going to guide you in that right way. Men of God, you have youth leaders, men who are going to guide you guys. You got Sonny and Victor, men of God, servants of God, amen. They got mansions in heaven already. You know what I mean? And they're gonna guide you guys. They're gonna direct you guys in the right path. They're gonna share their hearts with you guys. You gotta talk to them. You gotta go to them. You gotta share with them. You have leaders. Everybody, you have leaders who love you guys. Leaders who care for you guys. We have houses. You could come hang out. You could come and kick it with us. It's not just here on Tuesday, Sunday, and Friday. No, it's beyond that. We work. We have daily life schedules, but we put that stuff on hold for you guys. It's about growing. It's about you guys. It's all about that. God took the time out to save us. God took the time to send somebody to us to talk to us. It's the least that we can do. We love you guys as bigger brothers, as leaders, as friends, whatever you want to call it. We're here for you guys. We love you guys. You guys are family. You guys are we're a family. We're all in the same boat, fighting the same fight. Don't hold nothing back, amen. You got to open up to your family. You got to open up to us, talk to us, and let's do this together. Let's build this youth ministry together. Let's, man, win these islands for Jesus together. It's not just little John up there winning the islands, amen. It's all of us winning the islands for Jesus. We're a youth gang. We're an army. We're a unit. We're a team. We're a squad, amen. All of us together. Do you believe it? Do you believe it tonight? You got to believe it, amen. You got to want it. Amen, because we want it, but you gotta want it as well. Amen. Let me hear you clap for Jesus if you love him tonight. I'm gonna close out in a word of prayer. Amen. I'm gonna close out in a word of prayer.